blessing.
Amen.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate that. Boy, that could be a theme for a new year, couldn't it? More about Jesus. And that's the way we ought to live our lives. More about Jesus. And I appreciate that song so much. All right, hope you got your Bibles with you. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 23. The book of Matthew, chapter number 23. Matthew chapter 23. Now tonight, you're going to hear some ugly words in my message. You're going to hear words like viper, snakes. You're going to hear words like whited sepulchers. You're going to hear words like blind guides. You're going to hear words like hypocrite. You say, Pastor, who preached a sermon like that? Well, it was none other than the loving, compassionate Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to preach tonight from Matthew 23, just the sermon that Jesus Christ preached. And by the way, I want you to know that this is a woe chapter. Not woe, W-H-O-A, like, hold on a minute, stop. Woe, W-O-E, judgment, woe. And we're going to be dealing with some of that judgment, some of that woe tonight. All right, let's look, Matthew chapter 23. Going to be reading several verses, You follow along as I read out loud. We're going to begin in verse 13. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind. For whether is greater, the gold, or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind. For whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourself, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Tonight I want to draw your attention back to verse 13. He says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." Tonight I want to preach on this subject, the danger of closing heaven's door. Let's bow for prayer. Ask the Lord's blessing on the message tonight. The danger of closing heaven's door. Father, again, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for this chance to gather. And Lord, thank you that you have preserved your word for us. And Father, the sermon that you preached, Father, you preached to us tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would hear it as such. Lord, these are your words. These are your thoughts. This is your heart. And Father, I pray that you would use those words in our lives, that you would challenge us, that you would correct us. Lord, that you would accomplish whatever you want accomplished in our lives. We'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher that this world has ever known. We see it all through Scripture. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, the Bible says that Jesus spake as one having authority. Think about that. When Jesus spoke, it was God speaking to man. And then in Luke chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible says that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. After all, he is the omnipotent God. In John 7 and verse 46, the people said, "Never spake any man like this man." Line up all the preachers from days gone by, all the ages, and the greatest preacher that has ever been was the Son of God. You cannot improve on Jesus preaching. Now, here in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is preaching one of his most scolding, scathing, scalding messages. And by the way, I want you to understand that Jesus is not preaching to the sin crowd at Jerusalem. He's not preaching to the drunkards. He's not preaching to the adulterers. He's not preaching to the harlots or the thieves or the murderers. He's not preaching to the down and out. When Jesus preaches to that crowd, he always preaches invitation. He always preaches, "Come unto me." I want you to understand, here in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is preaching to the religious crowd. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Those who had memorized the first five books of the Bible. Those who have been taught all points of Jewish law. Those who were the quote-unquote experts, if you will, in the Jewish sacrificial system. He was preaching to the cleanest of the clean. He was preaching to religious people. And when he brought this sermon, he pronounced eight woes of judgment. We just read it. When Jesus preached, he didn't come preaching sweet words. When he preached, he didn't come preaching words that would tickle people's ears. When he preached, he wasn't preaching words that would make him a popular, well-liked preacher. When he preached, he wasn't preaching trying to get accepted into the ministerial fellowship. No, when Jesus came, he came preaching truth. And he would not compromise that truth in any way. Now let me make a point right here. I hear a whole lot today about negative preachers. Most of the time when a man of God gets the title of a negative preacher, it's because he preaches against sin. It's because he preaches against unrighteousness. And oftentimes he's labeled a legalist. Which is not true, because legalism is adding works to salvation. Let me share something with you. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a negative preacher. And so if I get negative every once in a while, I want you to know I'm in good company. All right? Now, I don't blame the moral decay of this country on the people. I blame it on the pulpit. I mean that. Abraham Lincoln said this: "When I hear a preacher, I want to hear him preach like he's hitting bees. You don't hit a swarm of bees one at a time. You try to hit them all." And that's the kind of preaching we need in America today. Preachers that'll hit it all. Now I want us to look at this message here in Matthew chapter 23. And I want you to notice, if you look up at verse 1. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples." Now, Jesus was preaching to the masses about the Pharisees. But in that multitude of people was Jesus' own disciples. And I believe everything that Jesus was saying, he was directing to his disciples. I believe that's a key to this message. If you miss that point, you're going to miss the entire message. I want you to notice what he says in verse 2 and verse 3. Saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. He said, hey, go ahead and keep the law. Keeping the law, it'll help you. But then, and you ought to underline this in your Bible, then he says this, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. To paraphrase it, Jesus is saying, hey, don't mimic the Pharisees. And I come to you tonight in 2018, and I say to you, do not mimic the Pharisees. Run from hypocrisy. Flee counterfeitism. And if I can put it down right where we live, listen to me, be real. Be genuine. Don't be a phony saint. I believe that this world is so tired of artificial Christianity. I believe this world is tired of simulation. I believe it's tired of charades. That world out there wants to see something real from the Christians. They want to see real Christian godliness. They want to see real Christian purity. They want to see real Christian separation. They want to see real Christian standards. I wonder tonight, how many of us have that godly testimony? I want to tell you something I heard the other day. I was listening, I just caught the tail end of an interview that someone was having with a well-known female contemporary Christian singer. And I didn't hear all of the interview, but I heard her say this. She said, you know, a person can be a Christian and be sexy. She said, what I'm doing is a good thing. And then she said this, I didn't become a different person when I became a Christian. Well, that's not New Testament Christianity. What that is false imitation, unreal, phony Christianity. We don't need that kind of Christianity in America today. We need godly Christians that are real. You say, preacher, you did get negative. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I'm tired of the false. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, let me show you something. In these woes that Jesus preaches here in Matthew chapter 23, he pronounces 8 woes. And I don't have the time to go over all of them tonight, but I do want to focus in on what I think is a big one. It's in verse 13. He said, let me find it. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Let me paraphrase that for you. My friends, Jesus is saying to these Pharisees that it is possible to close the doors of heaven. He's saying that it is possible to lock the doors of heaven to sinners. It is possible to live such a weak, anemic, cold, backslidden life that you actually send people to hell by your life. And we may not like that, but that's exactly what the Son of God is saying. Do you know that the Pharisees wore a big golden key on their waistband? That key made a statement. They went all over Jerusalem saying, hey, we've got the keys to heaven. We're the only ones that know how to get there. But they were jamming the locks of glory with their inconsistent, cold, dead, hypocritical, pharisaical lives. We must be very careful, folks, or we'll send people to hell by the way we live. And we understand that ultimately it's an individual's choice. But listen to me, the way we live our Christian life can cause people to not want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You ever heard somebody say, well, if they're a Christian, I am too. If they're going to heaven, I guess I'm going too. Please, don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to live like one. Now let me show you four ways from Matthew chapter 23 that people can literally close the doors of heaven to sinners. And it might surprise you. It might not be what you were expecting. And this is not just a shotgun message. Jesus was very specific in these things that he talked about that closes the door of heaven to sinners. And I understand we may not like this kind of preaching, but we need it. America's in trouble, folks. Our homes are in trouble. Our churches are in trouble. We need it. Now let me show you what Jesus says closes heaven's doors. Number one, the Bible teaches that we can shut heaven's door by practicing a false balance. We can shut the doors of heaven to sinners by practicing a false balance. Now what does that mean? The Bible says in Proverbs 11 and verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Amen. Think about the old miner scales. You remember it? Had the two plates on either side, and they would put a weight on one side, maybe a 5-pound weight, and then the miners would come in and they would pour their gold or whatever it was on the other side. And then when those scales balanced, they knew how much weight the gold had. What Jesus is saying here is that in every Christian life, there ought to be an evenness. There ought to be an equity. There ought to be a stability, a consistency. Folks, everything in our life ought to match. Amen. For instance, you might have a desire tonight to learn all that you can about the Word of God. But don't forget, all that you learn, you're responsible for sharing. Excuse me. I think we come in here to church and we get spiritual fed and we sit back and we rub our bellies while that world out there is starving to death. I like what one old preacher said. I didn't say it, he said it. He said, the problem in our churches is we're full of fat cows that give no milk. I believe that's right. Listen, you are responsible for every word that is preached from this pulpit. Too many people want to be given to investigation instead of propagation. We ought to be given to both. Balance. Let me give you another one. We have a strong desire in our culture today for health, for the physical. And by that I mean people are running, jogging, workout routines, health clubs, all of that. Do you know you ought to be given as much time to Jesus Christ as you do the physical? Amen. You spend an hour jogging, you ought to spend an hour soul winning. You spend an hour watching football, you ought to spend an hour praying. Yeah. You spend an hour exercising, you ought to spend an hour in the Word of God. Amen. I'm just saying tonight, does the physical match the spiritual? Balance. A false balance, that's what the Pharisees had. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Our words and our works ought to match. Our walk and our talk ought to match. Our preach and our practice ought to match. And it is a Pharisaical sin for us to talk big and live little. You know, when David committed that sin with Bathsheba, and the prophet Nathan came in, and he pointed his finger in David's face, and he said, "Thou art the man." Do you know what he said after that? Listen, he said, "You have given the enemies of God an occasion to blaspheme." Yep. Why? Because he became a counterfeit to those who were worshiping false gods. Whoa, that ought to scare us. How important is it for you to live a genuine Christian life before the lost? If you don't, you might send them to hell. You might shut the doors of heaven. Number two, we can shut the doors of heaven by not lifting fingers of compassion. We can shut the doors of heaven by not lifting fingers of compassion. I want you to think for a moment about the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember the man was robbed, left for dead? Levite comes by. He passes by on the other side. The priest comes walking by. He passes by on the other side. Thank God the Good Samaritan stopped. Amen. By the way, you can never show compassion without stopping, without slowing down, without sharing, without reaching out. That Good Samaritan took those fingers of compassion and he applied the ointment to that man's wounds. Bound them, put the man on his own donkey, took him to the inn, stayed up all night with him in the inn, and then paid the innkeeper some money to care for the man should he have any other expenses. Now I want you to notice what Jesus says in verse 4. Matthew 23, verse 4. He's speaking about the Pharisees. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Oh, those Pharisees, they could give out the commandments. They could lay down the laws. They could make it hard on everybody around them, and they required every person to be perfect. But they themselves would not lift a finger to help somebody who was hurting. You know what that is? That's hypocrisy. If you're not helping, and if you're not sharing, and if you're not loving, and if you're not reaching out, then my friend, you have missed the spirit of the New Testament. Red, yellow, black, white, they're all precious in his sight. Now, notice verse 37, if you would. Chapter 23. Again, this is Jesus speaking. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Compare the heart of Jesus to the heart of the Pharisees. I think we need a baptism of compassion in our hearts. We are slamming heaven's doors for a lack of compassion. Number three, we can close the doors of heaven by straining on gnats and swallowing camels. We can close the doors of heaven by straining on gnats and swallowing camels. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Don't ask me, ask Jesus. Amen. He said it. And I'm going to try and tell you what I think it means. And please don't misinterpret what I'm going to say. All right? Gnats were a problem in the Holy Land. These people felt like that any kind of creature that they touched or that went into their body that was unclean made them vile and made them unclean before God. So they would take their cup, they would get a piece of cheesecloth, and they would put that cheesecloth on the top of their cup, and everything that they drank, they strained in case there was a gnat in it. Now, what's he saying? Verse 24. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He said, you are so meticulous about the little things and so careless about the big things. Let me put it right down where we live. I'm talking about majoring on minors. I'm talking about making little things big and big things little. Let me give you an example. Christian families will weep and they will cry over their little dog that gets killed. And that's human. That's natural. But isn't it kind of inconsistent to weep and cry over a little pet that gets killed on the street, and we won't weep or cry over a lost soul that's going to hell? Which is weightier, a dog or an eternal soul? Let me give you another one. We have standards. There are Christians, they would never cuss, they would never gamble, they would never drink, they would never dress immodestly. And I thank God for every Christian that has standards, godly, biblical standards. But listen to me, a whole lot of Christians will gossip and they will slander somebody that doesn't have standards. Listen, that person might not be saved. And your gossip and your slander and your criticizing and your backbiting might send that person to hell. You might shut the doors of heaven. Hey, listen, read James chapter 3 sometime. James talks about the tongue. And one of the biggest problems of true spirituality is the use of the tongue. He called it a fire. He called it a poison. We criticize, we gripe, we complain about everything that we don't like. Tongues have wrecked empires and they've laid churches to waste. Tongues destroy, and they can shut the very door of heaven. Amen. Which is weightier, standards or salvation? Let me give you another one. Every year we have a missions conference. We invite missionaries in from time to time to present their ministry. We take on missionaries for support. We send them to foreign lands to tell other people about Jesus Christ, but we won't walk across the street to tell our neighbor about Jesus Christ. And just like the Pharisees, we point our crooked little fingers and we turn up our spiritual noses, majoring on minors. God help us. One more thought and I'm through. We can close the doors of heaven by a false profession of faith. We can close the doors of heaven by a false profession of faith. If there is one verse that I think scares me more than any other, it's verse 33. Jesus says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Those words came from the mouth of the Son of God. Jesus looked at all those Pharisees and he said, "You're all going to hell." Why? Because they were phonies? Because they were counterfeit? I'm afraid we got a whole lot of counterfeiters today. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name has cast out devils?" Then will he say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Folks, I didn't say that, Jesus did. In Matthew 13, Jesus said, "Until the end of the age, there will be tares among the wheat." My friend, let me tell you something. Tonight, if I were sitting there and I were a tear, I would jump out of that seat and I would hit this altar and become a weed. I'd quit playing Christianity and become one. And you know what? As long as you're a tear, there's always the danger of somebody looking at your phony life. Hiding behind the church, going through the motions, there's always the danger of them knowing that you're a phony and dying and going to hell. You are closing the doors of heaven to some folks who know you're not true. Folks, I think it's high time that we get serious about our Christianity and start living it. We got a brand new year. Lots of opportunities. Lots of people that we're going to interact with. I wonder how many know we're Christian. I wonder if we interviewed our coworkers or our neighbors. I wonder what they would say about our Christianity. Are we real? Are we genuine? Or are we like the Pharisee? Let's start living our Christian life in such a way that we don't close the doors of heaven for somebody else. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.